Good morning, Trinity Church family. So glad that you guys have joined us again this morning, that you've welcomed us into your homes. It's a joy to be live here and to have live worship. It's just awesome, really preparing my hearts, and I'm hopefully preparing your hearts as well for the message this morning. We're continuing in this series, Dear God, Teach Us to Pray. I'm excited. I'm not sure if I said my name. My name is Mark Castro. I'm the family pastor here at Trinity, and excited to continue in this series as we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to start by praying the Lord's Prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I love this prayer as we've been diving in. And this morning we're going to be talking about, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I'm not sure if your dinner table looks like this, or whenever you have a meal with your family or with your loved ones. But I love this. Just picture this video of just, it's messy and yet beautiful at the same time, with kids' cups and lids and plates, and then the bigger plates as well. Just the mess, and yet you know that there is joy in celebrating together, is sharing a meal together, maybe praying with each other, laughing and having great conversation around the dinner table. And it's really awesome. And like I said, it's messy and beautiful at the same time. And yet, there could be things that come as we gather as a family, for example, that can distract us, there could be tension even that rises in the midst of that. Like I said, some of it can be fun, some of it can be messy. Even just within the last, I think, few weeks or so, we pray as a family. We have a 1.5-year-old Margot and a 3.5-year-old Joelle. And Margo and Joelle, they like to pray, and we will fold our hands and pray together. And Margo is all excited, and she smiles as we pray. And then we say our prayer and thank God for the food that he's given us, and maybe pray for a family member. And then when I say amen, Margo says, no, no. And it's like she doesn't want the prayer to end. At least that's what I'm not an expert on toddlers, but I'm thinking maybe she doesn't want us to end the prayer. And it's cute. We have those moments where maybe prayer doesn't go the way that we think, or the meal doesn't go the way that we think. And it's messy and beautiful. But yet there could be times where tensions can rise, even in the midst of our own family at the dinner table. Even with Joelle, our 3.5-year-old, just a few months ago, while we were sheltered in place and restaurants weren't open, but you could go and grab food to go and bring it home. I remember it was Andrea's birthday, and I grabbed some food and brought it home, and I was excited to celebrate Andrea's birthday with our girls and with Andrea. And Joelle, she wasn't having it. She threw a fit. She threw herself on the floor, and it was just like one of her worst fits that she's ever had. And I'm like, wow, I wish I was 3.5, because, you know, I'm old, I'm an adult and can't have the same kind of fits that she has. But I could feel the tension even rising in those moments. And maybe you don't have a 3.5-year-old, but you have a 13, 14, 15-year-old. Maybe you have teenagers. Maybe you just have fights and tensions that rise in your home, especially as we were coming out of sheltering in place. And I also think that we live in this world of plenty. We have plenty of stuff. When I think of give us this day our daily bread, we don't always, or most of us as Americans, don't think, I don't know where my bread's going to come from, or I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. Now, I know that there are people in this world, and even in the U.S., where they do have that question, and I'll talk about that later. But for those of us, many of us who aren't worried about our next meal, it's because we live in this world of plenty. So much food, so many things. Not only do we not worry about where our next meal is going to come from, we might just worry about, like, how many portions am I going to have? I ask Andrea when we're eating, I'm like, can I have another slice of pizza? Can I have some more food because I want to eat? Or do we want to save leftovers for another meal? That's the world that we live in. And when I preached a few months ago, I mentioned how I was disappointed that Pizza Ranch was closed, like you couldn't go into the buffet and eat at the Pizza Ranch. And it's like, you, I think I got made fun of a little bit for just like saying, hey, I like Pizza Ranch, but they do have good fried chicken. I love it. And I love to go in there and eat. And even Nick, one of our pastors, he texted me this past week about how the Pizza Ranch buffet was open, so he was able to go in to the building, and I'm sure he ate a lot and a lot of food. So he's in here. He's probably thinks that's funny, but just thinking, like, this is the world we live in. We want to eat more and more. We have so many things, so much food, but not only food, but just so many things that we have to do, or activities or recreation. And now that things are opening up, that we have more things that we can do. In fact, maybe you can't remember the last time you had a meal with your family or with your loved ones, as we're running from this thing to that thing, that we live in this world of plenty, plenty of things, plenty of food. And when I think of Jesus and in this, in his world, in the first century, as he is teaching the disciples how to pray and the followers of Jesus how to pray in the first century, they lived in a world of scarcity, where they did worry maybe about where their next food was, where their next meal was going to come from. And they lived in a world where they didn't have a lot. They didn't have so many things, or recreation and different things to do. And because of that, they maybe had more of a posture of dependency, depending on God for their daily bread, their daily food, the things that they need. Not just the things that they want or they think they want, but really the things that they need. And I really believe as we look at this passage and look at this portion of the Lord's Prayer, we're going to see how we can kind of get back. Not that I want us all to live in a world of scarcity where we're wondering where our next meal is coming from, but that we would have a posture of dependency on God, and a dependency and also listening to him on how he would use us in this world that we live in. Now we can see here in Matthew 6:11, this verse, give us this day our daily bread. And in Luke chapter 11, this is another account of the Lord's Prayer in Luke's gospel, in his account of the life of Jesus. It says here, give us each day our daily bread. And there's a lot of books written about this and chapters about the difference between these two verses. But really, it's getting at what Jesus is trying to say is that give us each day our daily bread, not just for today, not just the meal that's in front of us, maybe as we're praying and around that dinner table with our family or with our loved ones, but that God would provide for us each and every day the bread, the food, the sustenance that we need in our lives. Now, this is a biblical theme too, as God's people have cried out to God for food, for their needs, for perseverance in the midst of trials that they were going through. Now, the Israelites, they were coming out of slavery in Exodus. God freed them from slavery. And in their story, in Israel's story, we could see how Israel began to grumble. They began to complain when they were in the wilderness after God freed them from slavery. And the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 16:4, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. So now we can see with the Lord's Prayer that we just looked at, and really they would have had this in mind, this is a verse that each and every day how God provided for them in the wilderness, and that God wants to continue to do that if we would call on God our Father to do just that. Now, this is a theme throughout Scripture, and I wanted to look at Luke chapter 1. You see, Mary, she is pregnant with Jesus, our Savior, and she praises God in this song for how he's provided, how he's using her, praises God, her Savior. And she says this, he, God, has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Now, this praise, this song that she's saying really is in line with the Lord's Prayer, where it says that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That this is what it looks like for this kingdom prayer, that God would restore all things, that he would right the wrongs of this world, that he would fill the hungry with good things. God cares for those that are hungry, those who are in need, and even the rich, not just any rich person, but a rich person who would persecute or take advantage of the vulnerable, and they are hungry. The hungry are hungry because of how rich has treated them in the past, and that God would want to and will right the wrongs of this world. He will restore all things, and he will fill the hungry with good things. Now, this is my first point, is that we would pray for God to give us bread for today and each day, to have that posture of dependency, that we would thank God. God, thank you for providing this meal that's right in front of me. If we're with our family or with our loved ones and we're praying and we're asking, we're thanking him for that, and that he would continue to do that each and every day, because we know that not everybody even has that, and we are thankful for what he has given us, the food on our plates, the roof over our heads, a bed to sleep in, these things that in a world of plenty that we may take for granted, and that we would get that posture back and pray to God and ask him for these things. Now, in the New Living Translation translates this verse as, give us today the food we need. Again, the food, not just that we might want to overindulge or to have seconds, thirds, fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, but the food that we actually need today. But this leads me to ask this question. Yeah, if this clicker will work. And the question is, do you have what you need? Oh, wait, there it goes. Do you have what you need? Now, I asked this question a few months ago when I preached on I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Jesus says this in the Gospel of John. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't watched that message, to check that out. But I wanted to talk briefly in the next minute or two about that passage. Do you have what you need? In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, Jesus is also referring to that Exodus story, that the fathers, they ate and they were hungry again, but if they eat of the bread of life, that they will never go hungry again and never go thirsty. And that Jesus is that bread of life that provides us not only this bread, but like literally just life, eternal life, life now and forever, that Jesus provides that through his body that was broken, his blood that was shed. He died on the cross for our sins so we can be forgiven. He rose again on the third day so that we can have life now and forever. This is what Jesus has brought us and provided for us. And really, if we have Jesus, we have everything we need. And those of us who have been followers of Jesus, whether it's been for a month, a year, 10 years, or more, we know that if we've experienced Jesus, he really is everything that we need. And as we pray, let's pray for God to give us bread for today and each day, and that God would give us Jesus each day. What a beautiful thing it is when we first placed our trust in Jesus, whether, again, that was a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, but we need Jesus every single day, and we need him, and that God would give us Jesus each day, the bread of life, that he would give us what we need and not what we want or even what we think we need, but what God sees our need actually to be, to pray that prayer that I so long to, like, well, this is what I want. I want this, this, and this, and this. And it's okay, we can ask God. He cares about every aspect of our lives, but that we would surrender those things and say, God, give me actually what I need, and you know what's best for me and my family. Oh, that one is going really fast. There we go. So in Isaiah chapter 25, now the prophet Isaiah, he is referring to this feast that we're going to have, really like this amazing party that we get to have as we think of bread and food that we eat and share, and we thank God each and every day for the meals that we have, what he has provided us. Now, in Isaiah, the prophet, he says this, in Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear and well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever, and the sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. What an exciting thing to anticipate, to get ready for, to long for that day. Imagine a meal, a feast, a beautiful banquet with all people of the world. That is amazing. And that God would wipe away all tears from our eyes, that he would do away with death. Now, I wanted to talk about Luke chapter 15, and those of you familiar with this, you might think initially, you know, why am I bringing this up? Well, let me explain. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. This is Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled and saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." He eats with them. See, the religious leaders, they got upset that Jesus would hang out with these people, the fringe of their culture, their society, the tax collectors, the sinners, and that he would eat with them. What a beautiful picture that Jesus would eat with people who didn't look like the religious leaders, didn't have the same background, didn't have all the religious whatever that they had, but that he longed to be with them. And Jesus goes on to tell a parable in three parts of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son, that God goes after those that are lost, those who are on the fringe, those that, again, that aren't the religious people, those that don't look like us or have the same background. I can't help but think of Isaiah in this passage, that all the people of the world, the people of all the world, all people have an opportunity to place their trust in Jesus and be a part of this banquet. And Jesus in this moment is anticipating that reality and longs for that. He knows what's coming, and he longs for all people to trust in him. Doesn't matter if they have the religious pedigree or not, that they can be part of this banquet. Now in Revelation 19 and 21, we're going to take a look at, really refers to this passage in Isaiah 25, and then takes it a step further here in Revelation 19, 9. It says here, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." What an amazing picture, again, of this feast, this wedding feast. Those of you who have been to a wedding, a reception, and the celebration that comes as the two have become one, and that the celebration that happens there. And here, we're the body, the bride of Christ, coming together with Jesus, the Lamb who was slain. In John chapter 1, John also writes Revelation, and he writes John, and he says that Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is victorious and provides a forgiveness for our sins through being a slain Lamb, dying on the cross for our sins. And of course, he rises again on the third day to provide life now and forever. We get to celebrate together people from all over the world who have placed their trust in the Lamb who was slain. In Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." This is amazing, as we see in Isaiah 25, and now really taking it another step further in Revelation, where this marriage, the supper of the Lamb, this feast with the Lamb who was slain, and now he is going to wipe away all tears from their eye. Death will be no more. There will be no more crying and no more pain. That God is really going to restore all things. This is really the fulfillment of this prayer that we're looking at. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That God will fill the hungry with good things. He's going to right the wrongs of this world. What a joyous time. What an exciting time to look forward to. And our daily needs and desires, really, they point beyond themselves to God's promise of the kingdom in which death and sorrow will be no more. Or another way to put it is, the next time we gather at a table and have a meal and God provides this for us. This is really an anticipation to this moment that we are going to feast together with people from all over the world that have placed their trust in Jesus. Have you ever thought that this is really a taste of heaven when we gather for a meal? Every time that God provides us food and God provides us the loved ones that we can have around the table, and that when, imagine if our table expanded to include other people who maybe don't look like us or don't come from the same background like Jesus did with the tax collectors and the sinners, that this is really a taste of heaven. And we then should pray for God to give us bread for today and each day. Give us Jesus each day and give us today a taste of the feast we will have in heaven. And it is, he does give that to us. If you've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time, you have these tastes. I'm even excited to be able to have a meal with my 1.5-year-old and 3.5-year-old here for lunch, and with Andrea, that my wife, that this is a taste of heaven. Even if it's messy, right? Even if Margot says, no, no, instead of amen, that this is a taste of heaven. It is beautiful how we can gather together and share a meal with each other. It is a taste of heaven. Now, I wanted to address how not all of us who may or maybe watching, or maybe we know people who don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And in James chapter 2, verse 15, James says, if a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? What good is that? And that really hits me home when I think of what good is that? And this is in the context of faith without works is useless. Now, that doesn't mean that faith can't save us. In fact, if we've placed our trust in Jesus, it is his work alone that saves us, that he died on the cross for our sins. He rose again on the third day to provide us life now and forever. That work is done. But how can we not, maybe another way to look at this, how can we not, even with this prayer, if we have a posture of dependency, that every meal, everything that we have, the roof over our head, the bed that we sleep in, everything that we have is provided to us from God. And then out of that, we realize that we crave and we need Jesus each and every day. And then that we would, every time we gather together for a meal, that we would see this as a taste of heaven on earth. And if we expanded our table to include people who don't look like us or haven't been to church for years or whoever that might be that is different than us, that how could we not then want to provide for those who are in need, those who are, they're hungry, and how can we not want to provide good things for them? And ask God, how can you use me to be an answer to prayer for someone else? So pray for God to give us bread for today and each day. Give us Jesus each day. Give us today a taste of what the feast we will have in heaven is like. And then pray for God to show us how we can be an answer to this prayer for someone else. That imagine it, how awesome, how exciting, how really humbling it could be and should be if we are an answer to the Lord's prayer for someone else. That God wants to use us as agents to bring about your kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. God, show us how we can be an answer to this prayer for someone else. An answer to God righting the wrongs of this world, restoring all things and feeding the hungry, those who are in need. And my big idea for us this morning is this, that God's story to restore all things includes our things. God's story to restore all things includes our things. Now, we live, again, in America, a world of plenty, that I'm autonomous, I'm an individual, I provide for my things. I can do and provide and have plans and plan out the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years and have all of these things planned out. But in reality, all of that is a part of God's plan. And God has provided these things and he's entrusting us these things, that how then could we use these things for his glory, for his purposes, for fulfilling the Lord's Prayer, even today in 2020, especially today with the tensions in this country, the tensions in our own state, the tensions with the pandemic, with the racial tensions in this world. There are so many things that divide us, so many things that cause our blood to boil, but that all of these things God wants to use to restore all things, to bring about his kingdom. What if when we sat for a meal, we would anticipate the wonderful feast we will have with all people? What if the next time we gathered for a meal, we anticipated that? That we wouldn't just go through the mundane everyday meals. Let's just get through the next meal. It's like, how long are these kids going to eat? I just want it to be done. And, you know, I want them to go to bed or whatever we might be thinking that we all think if you're a parent or whatever, or the tension that could be there, whatever's happening in your dinner table as you eat with others. What if you saw that as an anticipation of this feast? Maybe we would then invite others like Jesus did. He hung out with the tax collectors and the sinners, people who weren't like him, people who didn't have the same background as him or the other religious leaders. We would begin to do that. And as we do that, and as we even have meals and share in relationship with people who might even make us uncomfortable, that is an anticipation of this feast that's to come. What if when we sat for a meal, we would thank the Lord for the ways he has provided for our things? We wouldn't take things for granted anymore. Tomorrow is not guaranteed for us, and that we're just thankful for the next meal and the next thing that God provides us, and we are praise him for the life that he has given us. What if when we sat for a meal, we would pray for the hungry and those who are in need? Not everybody lives in a world of plenty. Many people do today live in a world of scarcity, and that we would pray for those that are in need. And what if when we sat for a meal, we would ask God to show us how we can be an answer to the Lord's Prayer for others? Pray, God, show me, give me an opportunity. It could be a simple thing. It could be as simple as inviting somebody around the table to join you in a meal. It could be, I love the story from Adam from last week that we shared, and it's also on our social media, that how many of us from Trinity gave food or even donated some money, and some of us went down to St. Paul to be able to put bags together and to provide some non-perishable food items and different toiletry and essential needs for the people down there in St. Paul coming out of the riots and the fires and the protests. There's just a simple yet a powerful, tangible way that we can provide for others. Ask God, God, show me, show us how we can be an answer to the Lord's Prayer for others. Now, there could be somebody who is watching this that maybe you don't know Jesus. You haven't placed your trust in him yet. I want to encourage you that Jesus is for you. He's everything that you need. And that he has provided life now and forever for you. And he has provided forgiveness of sins. Would you place your trust in him this morning?